but through it earlier himself. He's very upset. I don't blame Taylor. Neither do I. He's been out looking for you. Really? Why? I didn't know where you were. You left your purse, your phone. I couldn't even track you. Where did you go? Ethan and I just went to a bar across the street so I could watch what was happening. I see. So what did you do with Leela in the apartment? You really want to know? I ask. Yes, she replies, but in a tone that makes me think she's not sure. I hesitate, but she glances at me once more and I have to be honest. We talked and I gave her a bath, and I dressed her in some of your clothes. I hope you don't mind, but she was filthy. Anna remains mute and turns away from me. My appetite vanishes. Shit, I shouldn't have told her. It was all I could do, Anna. I try to explain.
You still have feelings for her?
No. I close my eyes as a vision of Leela, sad and waif-like, comes to mind. To see her like that, so different, so broken, I care about her, one human being to another. I let go of the image and turn to Anna. Anna, look at me. She stares at her untouched food. Anna.
What?
She whispers. Don't. It doesn't mean anything. It was like caring for a child, a broken, shattered child. She closes her eyes, and for a horrid moment, I think she's going to burst into tears. Anna. She stands and takes her plate to the sink and scrapes the contents into the trash. Anna, please.
Just stop, Christian. Just stop with the Anna, please.
She shouts with exasperation and starts to cry.
I've had enough of all this shit today. I'm going to bed. I'm tired and emotional. Now let me be.
She storms out of the kitchen toward the bedroom, leaving me with cooling, congealing macaroni and cheese. Shit. Wednesday, June 15th, 2011. I put my head in my hands and rub my face. I can't believe I asked Anna to marry me. And she didn't say no, but she didn't say yes either. She may never say yes. In the morning, she'll wake and come to her senses. The day started so well, but it's been a train wreck since this evening, since Leela. Well, at least she's safe and getting the help she needs. But at what cost? Anna? She now knows everything. She knows I'm a monster. But she's still here. Focus on the positive, Gray. My appetite has gone the same way as Anna's, and I'm exhausted. It's been an emotional evening. I get up from the kitchen counter. I've experienced more in the last half hour than I would have thought possible. This is what she does to you, Gray. She makes you feel. You know you're alive when you're with her. I can't lose her. I've only just found her. Confused and overwhelmed, I deposit my plate in the sink and head to my bedroom. It will be our bedroom if she says yes. Outside the bathroom, I hear a stifled noise. She's weeping. I open the door and she's on the floor, curled up in the fetal position, wearing one of my t-shirts and sobbing. The sight of her in such despair is like a swift kick to my gut that leaves me breathless. It's intolerable. I crawl onto the floor. Hey, I murmur as I pull her into my lap. Please don't cry, Anna, please. She snakes her arms around me and clings to me, but her crying shows no sign of abating. Oh, baby. Gently, I stroke her back, thinking about how much more her tears affect me than Leela's did. Because I love her. She's brave and strong, and this is how I reward her, by making her cry. I'm sorry, baby, I whisper, holding her, and I start to rock to and fro as she weeps. I kiss her hair. Eventually, her crying subsides and she shudders, racked with dry sobs. I stand with her in my arms, carry her to the bedroom, and lay her down on the bed. She yawns and closes her eyes while I strip out of my pants and shirt.
Leaving my underwear on, I slip into a t-shirt and switch off the lights. In bed, I hold her close. Within seconds, her breathing deepens and I know she's asleep. She's exhausted too. I dare not move for fear of waking her. She needs sleep. In the dark, I try to make some sense of all that has occurred this evening. So much has happened. Too much. Too much. Leela stands before me. She's a waif, and her stench makes me take a step back. The stench. No. The stench. He smells. He smells of nasty and dirt. It makes sick come into my mouth. He's mad. I hide under the table.
There you are, you little prick.
He has cigarettes. No. I call my mommy, but she doesn't hear me. She lies on the floor. Smoke comes out of his mouth. He laughs, and he holds my hair. The burn. I scream. I don't like the burn. Mommy is on the floor. I sleep beside her. She is cold. I cover her with my blankie. He's back. He's mad.
Crazy, stupid bitch. Get out of my way, you stupid fucking runt.
He hits me and I fall. He goes, he locks the door, and it's mommy and me. And then she's gone. Where is mommy? Where is mommy? He holds the cigarette in front of me. No. He takes a puff. No. He presses it against my skin. No. The pain. The smell. No. Christian.
My eyes flick open. There's light. Where am I? My bedroom. Anna's out of bed, holding my shoulder, shaking me.
You left. You left. You must have left.
I mumble incoherently. She sits down beside me.
I'm here,
she says, and lays her palm on my cheek.
You were gone.
I only have nightmares when you're not here.
I just went for a drink. I was thirsty.
Closing my eyes, I rub my face, trying to separate fact from fiction. She hasn't left. She's looking down at me. Kind, kind Anna. My girl. You're here. Oh, thank God. I pull her down beside me on the bed.
I just went to get a drink,
she says, as I wrap my arms around her. She strokes my hair and my cheek.
Christian, please. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. Oh, Anna.
My mouth claims hers. She tastes of orange juice, sweetness, and home. My body responds as I kiss her, her ear, her throat. I tug her bottom lip with my teeth as I caress her body, my hand pushing up the t-shirt she's wearing. She trembles as I cup her breast, and she moans into my mouth as my fingers find her nipple.
I want you,
I whisper. I need you.
I'm here for you. Only you, Christian.
Her words light a fire inside me. I kiss her again. Please never leave me. She grabs my t-shirt and I move so that she can pull it off. I pull her upright while kneeling between her legs and drag off her t-shirt. She looks up at me, her eyes dark and full of hunger and longing. Holding her face, I kiss her and we sink onto the mattress. Her fingers tangle in my hair as she kisses me back, matching my fervor. Her tongue in my mouth, eager to please.
Oh, Anna.
Suddenly, she pulls back and pushes against my arms.
Christian, stop. I can't do this.
What? What's wrong? I murmur against her throat.
No, please, I can't do this. Not now. I need some time. Please.
Oh, Anna, don't overthink this, I whisper as my anxiety returns. I'm fully awake. She's rejecting me.
No.
I'm desperate. I tug her earlobe with my teeth and her body bows under my touch and she gasps. I'm just the same, Anna. I love you and I need you. Touch me, please. I stop and rub my nose against hers and stare down at her, holding my weight on my arms as I wait for her response. Our relationship rests on this moment. If she can't do this, if she can't touch me, if I can't have her, I wait. Please, Anna. Tentatively, she reaches up and places her hand on my chest. Heat and pain spiral across my chest as the darkness unleashes its claws. I gasp and close my eyes. I can do this. I can do this for her. My girl. Anna. She runs her hand up to my shoulder, her fingertips scalding my skin. I groan. I want this so much, and I dread it so much. To dread your lover's touch. What kind of fuck up am I? She pulls me down to her and moves her hands to my back, holding me, her palms on my flesh, branding me. My strangled cry is half groan, half sob. I bury my face in her neck, hiding, seeking solace from the pain, but kissing her, loving her, as her fingers cross the two scars on my back. It's almost unbearable. I kiss her feverishly, losing myself in her tongue and her mouth as I fight my demons, using only my lips and my hands. They skim over her body while her hands move over mine. The darkness is swirling, trying to dislodge her, but Anna's fingers are on me, caressing me, feeling me, gentle, loving, and I steel myself against my fear and the pain. I trail my lips down to her breasts and close them around one nipple, tugging until it's hard and standing at attention. She groans as her body rises to meet mine and she scrapes her fingernails across the muscles on my back. It's too much. Fear erupts in my chest, hammering my heart. Oh, fuck, Anna. I cry out and stare down at her. She's panting, eyes bright and brimming with sensuality. This is turning her on. Fuck. Don't overthink this, Gray. Man up, go with it. Taking a deep breath to slow my pounding heart, I skate my hand down her body, over her belly, to her labia. I cup her, and my fingers are wet with her anticipation. Easing them inside her, I circle them, and she pushes her pelvis up to meet my hand. Anna. Her name is an invocation. I release her and sit up, and her hands fall away so she's no longer touching me. I feel relieved and bereft at once. I remove my boxers, freeing my cock, and lean over to the bedside table for a condom. I hand it to her. You want to do this? You can still say no. You can always say no.
Don't give me a chance to think, Christian.
She's breathless.
I want you to.
She rips open the foil with her teeth and slowly, with trembling fingers, slides it onto me. Her fingers on my erection are torture. Steady, you are going to unman me, Anna. She gives me a quick, possessive smile, and when she's done, I stretch over her. But I need to know she wants this, too. I roll us both over, quickly. You take me, I whisper, staring up at her. She licks her lips and sinks down on me, taking me inch by inch. I tilt my head back and close my eyes. I'm yours, Anna. She grabs my hands and starts to move up and down. Oh, baby. Leaning forward, she kisses my chin and runs her teeth over my jaw. I'm going to come. Shit. I still her with my hands on her hips. Slow, baby, please, let's take this slow. Her eyes are full of passion and excitement. And I steel myself once more. Anna, touch me, please. Her eyes widen with sheer delight and she spreads her hands on my chest. It's blistering. I cry out and thrust deep inside her. She whimpers, and her fingernails trail through my chest hair, tantalizing me. Teasing me, but the darkness is pushing at each point of contact, determined to rupture my skin. It's so painful, so intense, tears spring to my eyes, and Anna's face blurs in a watery vision. I twist so that she's underneath me. Enough, no more, please.
She reaches up and clasps my face in her hands, wiping my tears, then pulling me down so that her lips are on mine. I drive into her, trying to find my equilibrium, but I'm lost, lost to this woman. Her breath is at my ear, short, panting. She's reaching, she's close, but she's holding back. "Let go, Anna," I whisper.
"No."
"Yes," I plead, and I shift and roll my hips, filling her. She moans loud and clear, her legs tensing.
"Come on, baby, I need this. Give it to me."
"We need this." She lets go, convulsing around me and crying out while she wraps her arms and legs around my body, and I find my release. Her fingers are in my hair while my head rests on her chest. She's here. She didn't leave, but I can't shake the feeling that I nearly lost her again.
"Don't ever leave me," I whisper.
Above me, I feel her move her head, her chin lifting in that mulish way she has. "I know you're rolling your eyes at me," I add, pleased that she's doing so.
"You know me well."
There's humor in her tone. "Thank God. I'd like to know you better."
"Back at you, Gray,"
she says, and asks me what torments me when I sleep.
"The usual."
She insists that I tell her more.
"Oh, Anna, do you really want to know?"
She remains silent, waiting. I sigh.
"I must be about 3, and the crack whore's pimp is mad as hell again. He smokes and smokes, one cigarette after another, and he can't find an ashtray. Does she really want this shit in her head? The burn, the smell, the screaming."
She tenses beneath me.
"It hurt," I mutter. "It's the pain I remember. That's what gives me nightmares. That and the fact that she did nothing to stop him."
Anna's hold on me tightens. I lift my head, meeting her eyes.
"You're not like her. Don't ever think that. Please."
She blinks a couple of times and I lay my head on her chest again. The crack whore was weak.
"No, maggot, not now."
She killed herself, abandoning me. Sometimes in the dream, she's just lying on the floor, and I think she's asleep, but she doesn't move. She never moves, and I'm hungry, really hungry. There's a loud noise, and he's back, and he hits me so hard, cursing the crack whore. His first reaction was always to use his fists or his belt.
"Is that why you don't like to be touched?"
I close my eyes and hold her tighter. "That's complicated." I nuzzle the space between her breasts, surrounding myself with her essence.
"Tell me,"
she asks. "She didn't love me. She can't have loved me. She didn't protect me, and she left me alone. I didn't love me. The only touch I knew was harsh. It stemmed from there. I never had a mother's loving touch, Anna. Never. Grace respected my boundaries. I still don't know why." Flynn explains it better than I can.
"Can I see Flynn?"
she asks. 50 Shades rubbing off on you? I try to lighten the mood.
"And then some."
Anna squirms.
"I like how it's rubbing off right now."
I love her levity, and if she can joke about this, there's hope.
"Yes, Miss Steele, I like that too."
I kiss her and stare into the warm depths of her eyes.
"You're so precious to me, Anna. I was serious about marrying you. We can get to know each other then. I can look after you. You can look after me. We can have kids if you want. I will lay my world at your feet, Anastasia. I want you, body and soul, forever.
Please think about it." "I will think about it, Christian. I will. I'd really like to talk to Dr. Flynn, though, if you don't mind."
"Anything for you, baby. Anything. When would you like to see him?"
"Sooner rather than later."
"Okay. I'll make the arrangements in the morning."
I glance at the clock. 3:44. "It's late. We should sleep." I switch off the light and pull her to me so we're spooning. I only spoon with Anna. I nuzzle her neck. I love you, Anna Steele, and I want you by my side. Always. Now go to sleep.
I'm woken by a commotion. Anna is leaping over me and onto the floor and heading for the bathroom.
She's leaving?
No. I check the time. Shit, it's late. I think this is the latest I've ever slept. She's going to work. Shaking my head, I call Taylor through the internal phone system.
Good morning, Mr. Gray.
Taylor, good morning. Could you take Miss Steele to work today?
With pleasure, sir.
She's rather late.
I'll wait for her outside the front door.
Great. Come back for me.
Will do, sir.
I sit up and Anna hurries out of the bathroom, drying herself and gathering her clothes at the same time. It's quite the floor show, especially when she dons a pair of black lace panties and a matching lace bra.
Yes. I could watch this all day.
You look good. You can call in sick, you know, I offer. No, Christian, I can't. I'm not a megalomaniac CEO with a beautiful smile who can come and go as he pleases.
Beautiful smile? Megalomaniac?
I grin.
I like to come as I please.
Christian!
She sputters and throws the towel at me. I laugh. She's still here, and I don't think she hates me.
Beautiful smile, huh?
Yes, you know the effect you have on me.
She wraps her watch strap around her wrist and stops to fasten it.
Do I?
Yes, you do. The same effect you have on all women. Gets really tiresome watching them all swoon.
Does it? I can't hide my amusement.
Don't play the innocent, Mr. Gray. It really doesn't suit you.
She yanks her hair up into a ponytail and puts on a pair of high-heeled shoes. Baby's in black. She looks sensational. She bends down to kiss me goodbye, and I can't resist. I pull her down onto the bed.
Thank you for still being here, Anna.
What can I do to tempt you to stay? I whisper.
You can't,
she grumbles and makes a feeble effort to fight me off.
Let me go.
I pout and she grins. Outlining my lips with her finger, she smiles, leans up, and kisses me. I close my eyes and enjoy the feel of her lips on mine. I release her. She needs to go. Taylor will take you, quicker than finding somewhere to park. He's waiting outside the building.
Okay, thank you,
she says.
Enjoy your lazy morning, Mr. Gray. I wish I could stay, but the man who owns the company I work for would not approve of his staff ditching just for hot sex.
She picks up her purse. Personally, Miss Steele, I have no doubt that he would approve. In fact, he might insist on it.
Why are you staying in bed? It's not like you.
Crossing my hands behind my head, I lean back and give her a broad smile.
Because I can, Miss Steele.
She shakes her head in mock disgust.
Laters, baby.
She blows me a kiss and hurries out the door. I hear her footsteps clatter down the hallway and then all is quiet. Anna's left for the day. And I miss her already. I grab my phone with the intention of writing an email to her. But what should I say? I told her so much last night. I don't want to frighten her off with any more revelations. Keep it simple, Gray.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 15th, 2011, 9:05 a.m. Missing you.
Please use your BlackBerry. Kiss. Christian Gray, CEO. I look around my bedroom and ponder how empty it feels without her. I type an email to her personal account. I need to make sure she's using her phone because I don't want anyone at SIP reading our emails.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 15th, 2011, 9:06 a.m. Missing you.
My bed is too big without you. Looks like I'll have to go to work after all. Even megalomaniac CEOs need something to do. Kiss. Christian Gray, twiddling his thumbs, CEO. I hope that will elicit a smile. I press send, then call Flynn's office. I leave a message. If Anna wants to see Flynn, she should see Flynn. With that done, I climb out of bed and head into the bathroom. After all, I do have a meeting with the mayor today. I'm ravenous after yesterday evening's events. I never ate dinner. Mrs. Jones has prepared a full breakfast for me. Eggs, bacon, ham, hash browns, waffles, and toast. Gail has gone to town. She's in her element. While I'm eating, I get a response from Anna. Her work email.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 15th, 2011, 9:27 a.m., all right for some.
My boss is mad. I blame you for keeping me up late with your shenanigans. You should be ashamed of yourself. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Oh, Anna, I'm more ashamed of myself than you will ever know.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 15th, 2011, 9:32 a.m. Shenana what agains?
You don't have to work, Anastasia. You have no idea how appalled I am at my shenanigans. But I like keeping you up late. Winky smiley face. Please use your BlackBerry. Oh, and marry me, please. Christian Gray, CEO. Mrs. Jones is hovering about in the background while I eat my breakfast.
More coffee, Mr. Gray?
Please. Anna's response comes through on my phone.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 15th, 2011, 9:35 a.m. Living to make.
I know your natural inclination is toward nagging, but just stop. I need to talk to your shrink. Only then will I give you my answer. I'm not opposed to living in sin. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
For fuck's sake, Anna.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 15th, 2011, 9:40 a.m. BlackBerry.
Anastasia, if you are going to start discussing Dr. Flynn, then use your BlackBerry. This is not a request. Christian Gray, now pissed CEO. My phone rings and it's Flynn's PA. He can see me tomorrow evening at 7. I ask her to have Flynn call me. I'll need to ask him about bringing Anna to the session.
I'll see if I can schedule a call later.
Thanks, Janet. I also want to know how Leela is this morning. I send another email to Anna's account. This time my tone is a little softer.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 15th, 2011, 9:50 a.m. Discretion.
Is the better part of valor. Please use discretion. Your work emails are monitored. How many times do I have to tell you this? Yes, shouty capitals as you say. Use your BlackBerry. Dr. Flynn can see us tomorrow evening. Kiss. Christian Gray, still pissed CEO. I hope that will please her.
Two for dinner?
Gail asks. Yes, Mrs. Jones. Thanks. I take a last swig of coffee and set my cup down. I like bantering with Anna over breakfast. If she marries me, she could be here every morning. Marriage. A wife. Gray, what were you thinking? What changes will I need to make if she agrees to marry me? I get up and stroll to the bathroom. I stop by the stairway to the upper floor. On impulse, I head up the stairs to the playroom. Unlocking the door, I step inside. My recent memory of this room is not a good one.
Well, you are one fucked up son of a bitch.
Anna's words haunt me. A vision of her tear-stained, anguished face comes to mind. I close my eyes. Suddenly I'm empty and aching, feeling a remorse so deep it cuts through sinew and bone. I never want to see her that unhappy again. Last night she was sobbing. She cried her heart out, but this time she let me comfort her. That's a huge difference from last time, isn't it? I gaze around the room. What will become of it, I wonder? I've had some amazing times in here. Anna on the cross, Anna shackled to the bed, Anna on her knees,
I like your kinky fuckery.
I sigh and my phone buzzes. It's a text from Taylor. He's outside waiting for me. With a last lingering look at what was once my safe place, I shut the door. My morning is uneventful, but there's a certain excitement running through GEH. It's not often that I host delegations to the company, but the mayor's visit is causing a buzz throughout the building. I get through a few early meetings and all seems in place. At 11:30, when I'm back in my office, Andrea puts Flynn through to me. John, thanks for calling me.
I assumed you wanted to talk about Leela Williams, but I noticed that you're in my schedule, and I'm seeing you tomorrow evening.
I asked Anna to marry me. John says nothing. You're surprised? I ask.
Frankly, no.
That's not what I expect him to say, but I let it go. He continues.
Christian, you're impulsive, and you're in love.
What did she say?
She wants to talk to you. She's not my patient, Christian, but I am, and I'm asking you.
He's silent for a moment.
Okay,
he says eventually. Please tell her whatever she wants to know.
If that's what you wish.
I do. How's Leela?
She had a comfortable night and was forthcoming this morning. I think I can help her.
Good.
Christian.
He pauses.
Marriage is a serious commitment.
I know.
Are you sure that's what you want?
It's my turn to pause. Spend the rest of my life with Anna.
Yes. It's not all rainbows and unicorns, John says. It's hard work.
Rainbows? Unicorns? What the hell?
I've never shied away from hard work, John.
John laughs.
That's true. I'll see you both tomorrow.
Thanks. My phone buzzes, and it's another text from Elena.
Elena, can we do dinner?
Not at the moment, Elena. I just can't deal with her at this time. I press delete. It's after midday, and I realize I've heard nothing more from Anna. I type a quick email.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 15th, 2011, 12:15 p.m. Crickets.
I haven't heard from you. Please tell me you are okay. You know how I worry. I will send Taylor to check. Kiss. Christian Gray, overanxious CEO. My next meeting is lunch with the mayor and his delegation. They want a tour of the building, and my PR guy is beside himself. Sam's all about raising the profile of the company, though sometimes I think it's about elevating his own profile. Andrea knocks and opens the door.
Sam's here, Mr. Gray,
she says. Show him in. Oh, can you update the contacts on my phone?
Sure.
I hand her my phone and she stands aside to let Sam enter. He gives me a supercilious smile and starts a run-through of the various photo opportunities he's planned for the tour. Sam is a pretentious man and a recent hire I'm beginning to regret. There's a knock on the door, and Andrea pokes her head around.
I have Anastasia Steele on your phone, but I can't bring it to you. It's downloading your contacts, and I'm not brave enough to stop at mid-sync.
I leap up, ignoring Sam, and follow her to her desk. She hands me the phone, which is on such a short cable I have to bend over her computer.
Are you okay? I ask.
Yes, I'm fine,
Anna replies. Thank goodness.
Christian, why wouldn't I be okay?
You're normally so quick at responding to my emails. After what I told you yesterday, I was worried. I keep my voice low. I don't want Andrea or the new girl to hear me.
Mr. Gray.
Andrea is holding her phone to her neck and trying to get my attention.
The mayor and his delegation are in reception downstairs. Shall I ask them to come up?
No, Andrea, tell them to wait. She looks stricken.
I think it's too late. They're on their way.
No, I said wait.
Shit. Christian, you're obviously busy. I only called to let you know that I'm okay, and I mean that. Just very busy today. Jack has been cracking the whip.
She stops.
What an interesting choice of words.
Cracking the whip, eh? Well, there was a time when I would have called him a lucky man. Don't let him get on top of you, baby.
Christian,
she scolds. And I grin. I like shocking her. Just watch him, that's all. Look, I'm glad you're okay. What time should I pick you up?
I'll email you.
From your BlackBerry, I emphasize.
Yes, sir.
Laters, baby.
Bye.
I glance up and see the elevator is climbing to the executive floor. The mayor is on his way.
Hang up,
she says, and I hear the smile in her voice. I wish you'd never gone to work this morning.
Me too, but I am busy. Hang up.
You hang up. I grin.
We've been here before,
she says in that teasing tone she has. You're biting your lip. She inhales quickly. You see, you think I don't know you, Anastasia, but I know you better than you think.
Christian, I'll talk to you later. Right now, I really wish I hadn't left this morning, too.
I'll wait for your email, Miss Steele.
Good day, Mr. Gray.
She hangs up as the elevator doors open. By 3:45, I'm back in my office. The mayor's visit was a success and a PR windfall for GEH. Andrea buzzes me. Yes?
I have Mia Gray on the line for you.
Put her through.
Christian?
Hi.
We're having a party for your birthday on Saturday, and I want to invite Anastasia.
Whatever happened to hello, how are you? Mia makes a dismissive noise.
Spare me one of your lectures, big brother.
I'm busy on Saturday.
Cancel it, it's happening.
Mia?
No ifs or buts. What's Anna's number?
I sigh and stay silent.
Christian!
She shouts down the phone. Jesus. I'll text it to you.
No bailing. You'll disappoint Mom and Dad and me and Elliot.
I sigh. Whatever, Mia.
Great. See you then. Bye.
She hangs up and I stare at the phone with frustrated amusement. My sister is a pain in the ass. I hate birthdays. Well, my birthday. Reluctantly, I text Mia Anna's number, knowing that I'm unleashing the force that is my little sister on an unsuspecting victim. I go back to reading a report. When I finish, I check my email and there's one from Anna.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 15th, 2011, 4:11 p.m., Antediluvian.
Dear Mr. Gray, when exactly were you going to tell me? What shall I get my old man for his birthday? Perhaps some new batteries for his hearing aid? A. Kiss. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Mia is as good as her word. She hasn't wasted any time. I have some fun with my response.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 15th, 2011, 4:20 p.m. Prehistoric.
Don't mock the elderly. Glad you are alive and kicking, and that Mia has been in touch. Batteries are always useful. I don't like celebrating my birthday. Kiss. Christian Gray, deaf as a post CEO.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 15th, 2011, 4:24 p.m.
Dear Mr. Gray, I can imagine you pouting as you wrote that last sentence. That does things to me. A. Kiss, hug, kiss. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Her reply makes me laugh out loud, but what do I have to do to make her use her phone?
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 15th, 2011, 4:29 p.m. Rolling eyes.
Miss Steele, will you use your BlackBerry?
Kiss.
Christian Gray, twitchy-palmed CEO. I await her answer. It does not disappoint.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 15th, 2011, 4:33 p.m. Inspiration.
Dear Mr. Gray, your twitchy palms can't stay still for long, can they? I wonder what Dr. Flynn would say about that. But now I know what to give you for your birthday, and I hope it makes me sore. Winky smiley face. A. Kiss. Finally, she's using her phone, and she wants to be sore. My mind goes into overdrive imagining the possibilities this presents. I shift in my seat as I type my response.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, June 15th, 2011, 4:38 p.m., angina.
Miss Steele, I don't think my heart could stand the strain of another email like that, or my pants, for that matter. Behave. Kiss. Christian Gray, CEO.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray, June 15th, 2011, 4:42 p.m., trying.
Christian, I am trying to work for my very trying boss. Please stop bothering me and being trying yourself. Your last email nearly made me combust. Kiss. P.S., can you pick me up at 6:30?
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele, June 15th, 2011, 4:47 p.m., I'll be there.
Nothing would give me greater pleasure. Actually, I can think of any number of things that would give me greater pleasure, and they all involve you. Kiss. Christian Gray, CEO. Taylor and I pull up outside her office at 6:27. I should only have a few minutes to wait. I wonder if she's had any thoughts about my proposal. Of course, she needs to talk to Flynn first. Perhaps he'll tell her not to be a fool. The thought depresses me. I wonder if our days are numbered. But she knows the worst, and she's still here. I think there's room for hope. I check my watch, 6:38, and stare at the door of her office building. Where is she? Suddenly, she's in the street, the door swinging behind her, but she doesn't head toward the car. What gives? She stops, looks around, and slowly sinks to the ground. Fuck. I open the car door and notice out of the corner of my eye that Taylor is doing the same. We both rush to Anna, who is sitting on the sidewalk, looking faint. I sink down beside her. Anna? Anna, what's wrong? I pull her into my lap to check what's wrong, holding her head between my hands. She closes her eyes and sags against me as if in relief. Anna. I grasp her arms and shake her. What's wrong? Are you sick?
Jack,
she whispers. Fuck. Adrenaline sweeps through my body, leaving a murderous fury in its wake. I glance up at Taylor. He nods and disappears into the building. What did that sleazeball do to you? Anna giggles.
It's what I did to him.
And she doesn't stop laughing. She's hysterical. I'm going to kill him. Anna! I give her a shake. Did he touch you?
Only once,
she whispers, and her giggling stops. Rage fuels my muscles as I stand holding her in my arms. Where is that fucker? From inside the building, we can hear muffled shouts. I set Anna on her feet. Can you stand? She nods.
Don't go in. Don't, Christian.
Get in the car.
Christian, no.
She clasps my arm. Get in the goddamned car, Anna. I'm going to kill him.
No, please,
she begs.
Stay. Don't leave me on my own.
I drag my hand through my hair, trying and failing to hang on to my temper, while the muffled shouting inside SIP intensifies. Abruptly, it stops. I pull out my phone.
Christian, he has my emails,
Anna says in a whisper. What?
My emails to you. He wanted to know where your emails to me were. He was trying to blackmail me.
I think I'm going to have a coronary. That motherfucking asshole. Fuck, I growl as I call Barney. Hello, Barney Gray. I need you to access the SIP main server and wipe all Anastasia Steele's emails to me. Then access the personal data files of Jack Hyde and check they aren't stored there. If they are, wipe them. Hyde?
H-Y-D-E? Yes. All of them? All of them. Now, let me know when it's done. Will do. I hang up and dial Roach's number. Jerry Roach. Roach, Gray. Good evening. Hyde, I want him out. Now. But, Roach blusters. This minute, call security, get him to clear his desk immediately, or I will liquidate this company first thing in the morning. Is there a reason? Roach tries again. You already have all the justification you need to give him his pink slip. You've read his confidential file? I ignore his question. Do you understand? Mr. Gray, I completely understand. Our HR director is always defending him. I'll see to it. Good evening. I hang up, feeling somewhat mollified, and turn to Anna. Blackberry!
Please don't be mad at me. I am so mad at you right now, I snap.
Get in the car.
Christian, please.
Get in the fucking car, Anastasia, or so help me, I'll put you in there myself.
Don't do anything stupid, please, she says.
Stupid! I see red. I told you to use your fucking BlackBerry. Don't talk to me about stupid. Get in the motherfucking car, Anastasia. No.
Okay.
She holds up her hands.
But please be careful.
Stop shouting at her, Gray. I point to the car.
Please be careful,
she whispers again.
I don't want anything to happen to you. It would kill me.
And there it is. She cares. Her affection for me is plain in her words and in her kind, concerned expression. Calm down, Gray. I take a deep breath. I'll be careful, I say, and I watch her walk to the Audi and climb in. Once she's in the car, I turn on my heel and stride into the building. I have no idea where to go, but I follow Hyde's voice, his irritating, whiny voice. Taylor is standing outside an executive office beside what must be Anna's desk. Inside, Hyde is on the phone, and a security guard stands over him with his arms crossed.
I don't give a fuck, Jerry.
Hyde is protesting into the phone.
The woman is a prick tease.
I've heard enough. I storm into his office.
What the?
Hyde says, shocked to see me. He has a cut over his left eye and a purplish bruise is forming on his cheek. I suspect Taylor has been administering his own brand of discipline. I reach down to the phone cradle and press the hook, ending his call.
Well, look what the fucking cat dragged in,
Hyde says and sneers.
The boy fucking wonder.
Pack your things. Get out. And she may not press charges.
Fuck you, Gray. I'll be pressing charges against that little bitch for kicking me in the balls in a completely unprovoked attack, and I'll be sending your goon here down for assault, too.
Hi, handsome, he calls to Taylor and blows him a kiss. Taylor remains stoic. I won't tell you again, I state, glaring at the cocksucker.
Like I said, fuck you. You can't come in here throwing your fucking weight around.
I own this company. You are surplus to requirements. Get out while you can still walk. My tone is low. The color drains from Hyde's face. Yeah, mine. Fuck you, Hyde.
I knew it. I knew something shady was going on. That little bitch, your spy?
If you mention Anastasia once more, if you even think about her, if you even think about thinking about her, I will end you. His eyes narrow.
You like it when she kicks you in the balls?
I hit him square on the nose and he topples backward and smacks his head on the shelves behind him before he slumps onto the floor. You mentioned her. Get up, clear your desk, and get out. You're fired. Blood is pouring from his nose. Taylor steps into his office with a box of tissues and places them on the desk for Hyde.
You saw him!
Hyde whines to the security guard.
I saw you fall, the security guard says.
The name on his badge is M. Mather. Good job.
Hyde struggles onto his feet and grabs a handful of tissues to stem his nosebleed.
I'm pressing charges. She attacked me.
Hyde continues to snivel, but he begins to put his belongings in the box. Three hushed-up harassment cases in New York and Chicago and the two warnings you've had here, I don't think you'd get very far. He regards me with dark eyes and unadulterated feral hatred. Pack your things. You're done, I spit. Turning, I head out of his office to wait with Taylor while Hyde packs up his stuff. I need to distance myself. I want to kill him. He takes forever, but he does it in silence. He's mad. Real mad. I can almost smell his blood boiling. He gives me the occasional poisonous glance, but I remain impassive. The sight of his messed up face gives me some satisfaction. Eventually, he's done and he picks up the box. Mather follows him out of the building.
Are we finished here, Mr. Gray?
Taylor asks.
For now.
I found him groveling on the floor, sir.
Really?
Miss Steele appears to know how to defend herself.
She's always full of surprises.
Let's go.
We follow Hyde out of the building and both of us head to the Audi. Because Anna is already in the front seat, Taylor gives me the key and I slide into the driver's seat. Taylor gets into the back. Anna is quiet as I pull out into the traffic. I don't know what to say to her. The car phone rings.
Gray,
I answer.
Mr. Gray, Barney here.
Barney, I'm on speakerphone and there are others in the car.
Sir, it's all done, but I need to talk to you about what else I found on Mr. Hyde's computer.
I'll call you when I reach my destination. And thanks, Barney.
No problem, Mr. Gray.
He hangs up and I stop at a red light.
Are you talking to me?
Anna asks. I glance at her. No, I mutter. I'm still too mad. I told her he was trouble, and I told her to use her phone for email. I was right about everything. I feel vindicated.
Gray, grow up. You're behaving like a child.
Flynn's words circle my brain.
I've long held the belief that you never really had an adolescence, emotionally speaking. I think you're experiencing it now.
I glance across at her in the hope I can say something amusing, but she's staring out of the window. I'll wait until we get home. Outside Escala, I open Anna's car door while Taylor climbs into the driver's seat.
Come,
I say, and she takes my hand. While we wait for the elevator, Anna whispers,
Christian, why are you so mad at me?
You know why.
As we enter the elevator, I punch the code into the keypad.
God, if something had happened to you, he'd be dead by now.
As it is, I'm going to ruin his career so he can't take advantage of young women anymore. Miserable excuse for a man that he is. If anything had happened to her, Leela yesterday, Hyde today, hell. Slowly, she sinks her teeth into her lower lip while staring at me.
Jesus, Anna.
I pull her to me and twist so that she's pinned in the corner of the elevator. Tugging her hair, upturning her face, I capture her lips with mine and pour my fear and desperation into my kiss. Her hands grasp my biceps as she returns my kiss, her tongue seeking mine. I pull back and we're both breathless.
If anything had happened to you, if he'd harmed you,
I shudder.
Blackberry, from now on, understand?
She nods, her expression earnest, and I straighten up and release her.
He said you kicked him in the balls.
Yes.
Good.
Ray is ex-army. He taught me well.
I'm very glad he did. I'll need to remember that.
As we exit the elevator, I take her hand and we walk through the foyer and into the living room. Mrs. Jones is in the kitchen cooking. It smells good. I need to call Barney. I won't be long. Sitting down at my desk, I pick up the phone.
Mr. Gray?
Barney, what did you find on Hyde's computer?
Well, sir, it was a little unsettling. There are articles and photographs of you, your mom and dad, and your brother and sister all stored in one folder called Gray's.
That's odd.
That's what I thought.
Could you send me what he has?
Yes, sir.
and keep this between us for now. Will do, Mr. Gray. Thanks, Barney. And go home. Yes, sir. Barney's email arrives almost immediately, and I open the Grays folder. Sure enough, there are online articles about my parents and their charitable work, articles on me, my company, Charlie Tango, and the Gulf Stream, and photographs of Elliot, my parents, and me taken, I assume, from Mia's Facebook page. And last, two photos of Anna and me at her graduation and at the photographer's exhibition. What the hell would Hyde want with all that shit? It makes no sense. I know he has a thing for Anna that's consistent with his modus operandi. But my family, me, it's like he's obsessed with us. Or maybe it's all about Anna? This is weird and frankly disturbing. I resolve to call Welch in the morning to discuss. He can investigate further and get me some answers. I close the email, and sitting in my inbox are a couple of final acquisition agreements from Marco. I need to read them tonight, but first, some dinner. Evening, Gail. I call out to her when I'm back in the living room.
Good evening, Mr. Gray. Dinner in 10, sir?
Anna is sitting at the kitchen counter with a glass of wine. After dealing with that asshole, I think she's earned it. I'll join her. I retrieve the open bottle of Sancerre and pour one for myself. Sounds good. I respond to Gail and raise my glass to Anna. Two ex-military men who train their daughters well.
Cheers,
she says, but she looks a little crestfallen. What's wrong?
I don't know if I still have a job.
Do you still want one?
Of course.
Then you still have one. She rolls her eyes, and I smile and take another sip of my wine.
So did you talk to Barney?
She asks as I take a seat beside her. I did.
And?
And what?
What did Jack have on his computer?
Nothing important. Mrs. Jones places our food in front of us. Chicken pot pie, one of my favorites. Thanks, Gail.
Enjoy, Mr. Gray. Anna?
She says pleasantly, and departs.
You're not going to tell me, are you?
Anna persists. Tell you what? She sighs and purses her lips, then takes another bite of her meal. The contents of Jack's computer are not something I want Anna to worry about.
Jose called,
she says, changing the subject. Oh?
He wants to deliver your photos on Friday.
A personal delivery? Why is the artist doing this and not the gallery? How accommodating of him.
He wants to go out for a drink with me.
I see.
And Kate and Elliot should be back.
I put my fork down on my plate. What exactly are you asking?
I'm not asking anything. I'm informing you of my plans for Friday. Look, I want to see Jose and he wants to stay over. Either he stays here or he can stay at my place. But if he does, I should be there too.
He made a pass at you.
Christian, that was weeks ago. He was drunk, I was drunk, you saved the day. It won't happen again. He's no Jack, for heaven's sake.
Ethan's there. He can keep him company.
He wants to see me, not Ethan,
Anna says. I scowl at her.
He's just a friend,
she continues. She's already endured Hyde. What if Rodriguez gets drunk and tries his luck again with Anna? I don't like it. Anna takes a deep breath. She's trying to keep her cool.
He's my friend, Christian. I haven't seen him since his show, and that was too brief. I know you don't have any friends apart from that god-awful woman, but I don't moan about you seeing her.
What has Elena got to do with this? And I'm reminded that I haven't responded to her texts.
I want to see him, she continues. I've been a poor friend to him.
Is that what you think? I ask.
Think about what?
Elena, you'd rather I didn't see her?
Exactly. I'd rather you didn't see her.
Why didn't you say?
Because it's not my place to say. You think she's your only friend.
She's exasperated.
Just as it's not your place to say if I can or can't see Jose, don't you see that?
She has a point.
If he stays here, then he can't make a pass at her.
Can he?
He can stay here, I suppose. I can keep an eye on him.
Thank you. You know, if I am going to live here too...
Her voice trails off. Yes,